Have you ever experienced a young person spiral downward? And have you watched them climb their way out of their pit? Or are you still waiting for that to happen? Today's podcast episode is my first ever interview, and it welcomes my oldest son, Jared. We are going to talk about his spiral downward and what it took to get him out of his pit. So as he shares his story, I will offer a little bit of perspective as well. So let's go ahead and get started. Have you ever felt that we are losing young people to the world around them and that they have already chosen to walk away from Jesus without even knowing him? And did you know that all young people are at risk for something? That's why I want to welcome you to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast, where positive youth development and youth ministry intersect. I'm your host, Deb Schroeder. Join me weekly for encouragement, resources, and strategies to assist you in helping young people make Jesus their hashtag. Welcome back to the Jesus is My Hashtag podcast. I am so excited today that I get to share the first part of an interview that I did with my oldest son, Jared. Now, I want to say that I did not force him to do the interview. I didn't threaten to withhold help with his college tuition or anything like that. We actually, for some time, had been talking about him wanting to share his story, and we were able to finally make it happen. Thanks to technology, we were able to record me sitting in my own home while he was away in his college apartment. I have to say, our conversation was amazing. In fact, we chatted for almost 2 hours. Now, don't panic. This episode is not 2 hours long. I have broken down the interview into smaller segments that I will share throughout several episodes so that I can keep with my commitment that the podcast is 20 minutes or less. I believe this interview will do several things. First, I think it's going to be a blessing to families and to youth workers out there because there are times we face difficult situations where we don't know what to do. So to hear firsthand from a young person who has struggled and has made changes in his life, I think it'll be really great for all of us. I also think for me, as this kid's mama, it's going to be just really healing for my heart in many ways too. So we're just going to go ahead and get started. Jared, again, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem. I think this is going to be a really good cathartic experience because I don't think we sat down and really rehashed everything that happened. And I think coming back a little while later, and at the point where I'm at is also going to open up some new ideas of what went wrong. And then just talking through that, I think it's going to be really helpful, not just for me, but I think for a lot of your listeners out there who might have a kid like me who was kind of not troubled, but was starting to go down a bad path. And then I was luckily with your help and God's help able to rewrite it and get back to where I am now.
As we begin with your story, Jared, I'd love for us to start by offering a little background and focus in on your freshman year. We moved to Iowa halfway into your freshman year. Why don't you tell us what that was like for you?
It was kind of a mix of, I was really sad because I had a really good group of friends in Manhattan, Kansas, where we live. And it was also scary because I'd have to go back through the whole process of making new friends, which when I was very little, I didn't want to go out and I wasn't brave, didn't want to make new friends really. But I think at that point I'd kind of gotten over that hump, but it's scary going into a new place, and having to make new friends, make new connections. And you don't know if they'll reciprocate the feelings of, they like you and you're fun to hang out with. And it was definitely scary. But at that point, I think I was still in a good place then. I don't think when I moved, that was really the cause of these issues. But when we moved, I found some friends pretty quickly and through soccer at the high school. And that was really helpful. I'm still friends with a lot of them today, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it was scary, but it was a little exciting. It was also exciting because, it's a new place and it's just more life experiences and I think that's a, I think it's a good thing to kind of change your environment every now and then, because then you get, it's better to, I think, challenge yourself a little bit rather than just be comfortable.
And I think that's the thing. You assimilated really quickly. It was a blessing that I think we came pretty soon to where soccer was starting and you got to try out and you made the varsity team. And I just remember your coach at that time saying one time, having a conversation with your dad and I, and we said, and I made the comment something like, I really think the kids like him. And he goes, I think they like him a little too much. I mean, they just really, you know, lots of joking. And that was just such a key thing to see you really settle into what you knew, right? And soccer had been such a comfort for you throughout all the years that that was kind of the one normal thing. At the same time, shortly after we'd moved here, we took in within a couple months our great nephew, your cousin, and it was hard. He was a high needs child dealing with separation issues and sensory issues. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
It was a combination of, like, obviously I loved him to death. I wanted nothing but the best for him, but also there was frustration a little bit from me because I think at that time, It was frustrating because, you know, a lot of times your attention would be on him, which I don't blame you for. He was a handful and he had some of his own issues that we had the work through. And I think sometimes I was not neglected, but I felt a little left out or deprived of some attention. And that kind of, I think over time started to build up a little bit towards some resentment towards him. And I didn't mean for it to be like that, but it just kind of, cause it felt like a little bit, he was disrupting what, you know, at that point we knew as a family, you know, it was just me, my brother, my sister, and then you and dad, and then our dogs. I mean, that was pretty much all I'd known, up until that point. So it kind of, it was an adjustment, and over time I did build some, resentment towards him. Which was pretty, I think, is unfair because he was a little kid. He didn't know any better and it wasn't really his choice. But it did happen. I did build up some resentment. And that, I think, is part of kind of what started to send me down that the path that I went on, veer off the godly and the good path that you and dad had, you know, pre-aligned and set for me.
I think it's also important to let our listeners know that at this point, we were homeschooling as a family. After we had moved from New Mexico to Kansas, right before your fifth grade year, Jared, we had began our homeschool journey. And when we moved to Iowa, we were still following God's leading to be homeschooling. One of the exciting things, though, that you were able to take classes in play sports in Iowa while you were homeschooled. So why don't you share a little bit about sort of what happened for you that you see when the change happened and what some of that started to look like for you?
So once I started hanging out with that group of friends I had met through soccer, and I was pretty much only seeing them either at soccer practice or when we'd hang out afterwards or during the weekends or whenever we could get together. I wanted to see them more and hang out with them more. And I started to really not want to be homeschooled because I started to become a lot more sociable and wanted to meet more people and, just push myself and get out of my comfort zone a little bit. And, that is, so I started to really, really get upset about the fact that, I was homeschooled. And I think I pretty much set you and dad an ultimatum a little bit because you'd offered with the dual enrollment in the school, which if you don't know, you can be homeschooled, but you can still take some classes at the school. And you had given me that option before, but I pretty much said, I gave you an ultimatum. I said it, which basically was either I'm staying homeschooled or you're sending me 100% fully into public school. And you and dad, you were still, like you said, you were still being called to homeschool us. So I started to get really frustrated with you over that because I just wanted to go 100% to public school. Looking back now, I think that is some of the biggest reason, I think, that I started to go down that path. And I think that's where some cracks started to form in our relationship that I had with you and I had with Dad, because I started to become stubborn, and I wanted to, that's where it started to be, I want my way or it's the highway. And that's really what started taking me down this path, where I wanted to make my own decisions, but I wasn't necessarily the best informed on those decisions. But I thought, you know, I knew the best. You don't know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. So you better let me do things my way or we're going to have issues. And obviously I was not mature enough really to make my own decisions, as we'll get to later. We'll talk about some of the consequences of,
right,
of that. But you and Dad held firm, which I think in the long run was a good thing. But at that time, it really, really got on. You started to get on my bad side then, because I really was frustrated.
I think another thing to mention at that point, at that same time, is when we'd started to, within about your second year of being here, and you were still playing soccer, you were still right, hanging out with these friends, you joined a club soccer team, and we'd switched to a different club soccer team where you were exposed to some other kids and
right,
some different life experiences. And at that time, we also had started the cancer journey with my dad. So here we had you having some frustrations and kind of puffing up a little bit like a peacock, I'd say. Right. You were going to do things your way. We had the high needs nephew that we were fostering, high sensory issues, lots of attachment disorder issues. And then we had my dad, who was an hour and a half away, starting to battle cancer. And so I was in and out, and I was high stress. So I don't want you to own it all entirely. That was a really hard season for me, because my whole world was really kind of crumbling and falling apart, and the fear, and everything felt out of control for me. And looking back on it now, I can only imagine how out of control that felt for you as a kid. And as a parent, that is hard, because we're supposed to protect you from those pieces. And it was really challenging.
Right.
I can't believe I'm about to do this, but we've hit the point in the interview where I'm going to pause and share some insights as they relate to positive youth development. I know. We were just getting to the good part, or actually the bad part. But before we go further, I think it's important to step back and widen the lens on what was going on. There are several things that jump out for me from the interview so far. First, I want to focus on three developmental outcomes. When we moved from Kansas to Iowa, one of the outcomes that was critical for Jared to grow was belonging and membership. In Kansas, he had a soccer team and a strong homeschool community that we were a part of. He was growing strong in his faith and was excited to talk about what he believed. As we transitioned to Iowa, that was one of the first things we knew he needed, to find a place to belong and connect. The high school soccer team filled that immediate need, and we also were able to find a strong youth group and a church. Unfortunately, the homeschool community was not the same fit for him in Iowa as it had been in Kansas. Regardless of where we lived, safety and structure is key for all young people. And while Jared felt safe in Iowa, his structure was turned upside down. We were in a new community and everything was new. We didn't mention this in the interview, but it's a conversation he and I have had many times together. Jared didn't like change at that point. He would dig in his heels when change would come. New teams, new community, new church, an added child to our home threw him off and made his structure feel out of control. No matter how much we tried to reassure him and build structure, he struggled. At the same time, when we moved, he was almost 15. He was at the stage of development when he was starting to seek that responsibility and autonomy. He talked about it in the interview. He wanted to make his own decisions and do what he wanted. While this is natural in these years, it's also important to note that a young person's ability to be responsible and autonomous is an ongoing process. Years later, he can recognize that he wasn't ready for that. In the moment, however, he couldn't. And anger and stubbornness grew from there. In case you've missed any of our podcast episodes, you might want to go back and check out episode 8, 11, and 12 specifically to focus on the developmental outcomes I've addressed today. Now, you might be wondering, did we not hear or were we not listening to Jared as he told us he wanted something different? No, we listened. We talked about options for school. One option would have put him in school full time, but he would have had to have done additional work to graduate on time, or he would have graduated a year later. He didn't like that option. So we looked at another option, dual enrollment. He also didn't like that option. We heard him and we took his desires into account, but in the end, we had to make a decision that was best for him, and he refused to consider any of the options. Now, as parents, in the middle of everything, we played the what-if game. What if we sent him to school? What if we hadn't moved? What if we hadn't taken in our nephew? This was a game that nobody was going to win. My husband and I knew that we needed to lean on God rather than ask these questions. The end result, we wanted to be obedient to God in all that we did and all that we chose. God placed our nephew in our home for a season. God moved us to Iowa for a purpose. We were not able to control everything around us, but we could choose to be obedient to God. Looking back now, do I think had we put him in school that things would have changed? I honestly don't believe so. I think Jared was going to walk a difficult path because he was pushing so hard to separate from our authority that it was going to come to a head one way or another. And it may have hit sooner, hit harder, and been worse. As a parent, I think it's natural and easy to slide into the what-if game. And the same can be true for any youth worker dealing with a struggling young person. As caring adults, we want our youth to be happy and healthy. We want them to grow in the areas that they need to. We want them to choose right from wrong. We want them to become independent. And we also want to protect them from the hurts of the world. In my experience, there is no point in playing the what-if game because you can't go back and change what has happened. You can only move forward. Yes, you can learn from the things that happened, but you can't get stuck in the what-if. When we were in the middle of it all, our focus shifted from what-if to what now. Make sure you join me next time as Jared will continue to share his story. We will start to look at some unhealthy choices and behaviors that pushed him further from God and his family. Hey there, fellow youth workers. Thanks for tuning in today. Remember what Matthew 9:37 tells us. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In other words, keep showing up and keep caring.